The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
The role of a university in regional economic development is built around both faculty researchers and students. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to meet one student who is an excellent example of the type of student UWM hopes to develop more of in future years. We'd like you to meet Carlton Reeves, who's both completing his studies at the university as a doctoral student in engineering and has also established a company that is attracting much interest both among potential investors and potential customers. Welcome, Carlton. Good to have you in the studio with us today.
Thank you, Tom. It's nice to be here.
So you've been in Milwaukee 4 years, or just entering your fourth year, I guess, and you indeed are one of those people who wear two hats these days, both a student and also an entrepreneur. First of all, how did you get here?
Yeah, I've been here for about 4 years, and my story really starts off at Carnegie Mellon, where I did my undergrad and my master's there, and then I had the opportunity to come to UWM to pursue my PhD in mechanical engineering. And I got an invitation, and I came out here just to kind of work on tribology, which is the study of friction, lubrication, and wear. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but UWM has the largest tribology department, arguably, in the U.S. So when I saw that opportunity, I said, this is definitely something I got to participate in, and that led me here.
You know, I never knew anything about tribology until our current chancellor, Mike Lovell, came onto the scene, and that is also his expertise. So I've over the years learned more about friction and the process of moving parts together than I ever thought possible, because when your boss is into something, you learn a little bit about it. So, but it's probably not surprising that tribology would be important in a place like Milwaukee, where there have been so many manufacturers building big equipment, big gears and machines or engines, I should say.
Right. I mean, tribology is incredibly important for any industry. You think of any two objects that are sliding in relative contact with each other, and that's energy, that's wasted energy, that's inefficiencies, and really with tribology, we try to figure out how to overcome those inefficiencies and minimize the amount of energy lost and make any process really more efficient for manufacturing and any industry.
So you're a PhD student. You're, in fact, defend your dissertation this fall, and right. And that part of your formal training is going to be wrapping up. But the really exciting backstory that you have, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program, is because in addition to working full-time on this PhD, you're also an entrepreneur. You've got your own company.
I do. Yeah. My PhD is wrapping up. This semester I do my final defense, and then, hopefully this company that I started, Tally Payments, can kind of take off. I've been working on it at UWM for about a year now.
Well, tell us about the company, and then we're going to talk a little bit about how the university supports you in terms of building this entrepreneurial moment in your life.
Right. So Tally Payments is really an electronic payment service for the restaurant industry. It allows customers to view menus, place orders, and pay using their mobile device. What we do is we basically allow customers to remove the time lost with waiting for a bill or waiting to pay their bill at a restaurant or waiting to even place their order. Get rid of that, and it's just kind of streamline the whole process when dining out. A lot of students in particular really want features like this where they can easily grab a sandwich or grab a coffee. We provide that. We let them, pull out their cell phone, place an order on their phone, and then run over to the grind on campus, pick up their coffee, and just, go back to class.
So it's condensing the amount of time it takes to either get your order, place your order, or pay for it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And we do the whole thing. I mean, we're one of the few companies, even in the U.S. right now, that lets the user literally place the order and simultaneously pay. And then we have a whole system that's integrated right into the merchant's point-of-sale system. So that's a pretty fascinating piece of technology that we've developed.
I imagine some of our listeners right now are saying, Well, that sounds really interesting, but what in the world does that have to do with mechanical engineering and tribology?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty different than what I'm doing for my PhD, but you know, when you do engineering, you really learn how to, you know, solve problems. That's really the big thing. And a lot of what I'm doing is I looked at a system that, you know, with legacy technologies, and I looked at a system with built-in inefficiencies and said, how can I solve this problem? And I use my engineering background to kind of formulate a solution. And then when I dove into it, it's a lot of programming and a lot of coding that kind of got involved, and even some, you know, computer algorithms and stuff. And that's where the engineering comes into play.
So you were able to go ahead and use those basic building blocks in your engineering training to really take your career in a whole different direction.
Right. Exactly. I mean, yeah, taking it from developing environmentally friendly lubricants to now doing finance and credit card processing is, yeah, it's a pretty big shift, but, you know, I'm excited. I like it. And, you know, it's a really, really fun thing to be doing right now.
A few months ago, you were invited to appear before the UW System Board of Regents when they came to Milwaukee for their annual meeting, and you presented on your company, and you told them some interesting stories about why it's so important for systems like the UW to go ahead and encourage entrepreneurship. Could you share some of those thoughts here again today?
Yeah. So, you know, in my background, I've had a lot of exposure to entrepreneurship. You know, early on, my family owns a small business where I got involved working in that and kind of growing up in the factory and, you know, seeing how my dad was able to take that business and, well, take it from my grandfather to my father and grow it over the last 50 so years. And then even in my undergrad, I got involved in entrepreneurial activities, one of which was the Google Lunar X Prize, you know, where we sent the robot to the moon to literally take high-definition video footage and try to stream it back. So that's a project that's still ongoing. So, you know, for me, being involved in those type of things really helped cultivate my perspective on business and, you know, where I want to go with my life. And I feel that at UWM right now, you're kind of in the crux of it. You know, there's a lot of programs starting to develop. And even myself, I got my foot in the door in the entrepreneurial world here at UWM through the Lubar School of Business. I won a couple business competitions there, and I was able to kind of grow through that circuit, through the business competition circuit, you know, coming in second place in southeastern Wisconsin and then eventually landing in top 10 in the U.S. For a competition based out of Chicago. So I was able to kind of, you know, grow through the UW system and then kind of get national exposure.
What can or should a university be doing to teach entrepreneurship? Because some people would say, you either got it or you don't. You're either born with that bug to go ahead and create a company or start a company, or it's not there. Is that necessarily true?
I mean, part of it is kind of true, but I do think students can develop this bug or, you know, develop this entrepreneurial spirit. It's really just the exposure. A lot of students, they want to start companies. I heard, you know, maybe 50% of students want to, you know, be self-employed and want to own their own business, but a lot of them don't really know how to go about it. And so, you know, the biggest thing for me is finding mentors. I've always found mentors. I've always found people that I can talk to, other professors or other people in different industries that I could really, you know, bounce my ideas off of. And then they help take those ideas and grow them into my business. So, you know, formulating a board of advisors or formulating, you know, just anybody that you can, you know, you can learn from. That's really the way you kind of go about it.
What kind of classes have you taken along the way at UWM that have prepared you for this next chapter?
Well, you know, I haven't taken too many classes at UWM, but I originally was a double major in business with a focus on economics in my undergrad. So that kind of got me into the whole thing. But for me, really staying connected to Lubar School of Business and staying connected with the events on campus, UWM has they have the Lubar School of Business New Venture Business Plan Competition. They have the Scheinfeld Fund Entrepreneurship Foundation. They have what else? They have the Startup Challenge.
Student Startup Challenge, right.
So there's different avenues where students can get involved into the Startup Challenge or into the entrepreneurial world and, you know, take those connections that they can develop there and, you know, the faculty and staff that are associated with those programs to really cultivate their ideas and turn those into businesses.
You mentioned your family and the fact that that there has been a business in your background from early on. How do they react, or how have they responded to these moves since you made it to Milwaukee, starting a company?
Yeah, well, my father is pretty supportive. My entire family is very supportive. You know, it's very different business. Business today and business yesterday are very different. My family's business is manufacturing. And so, you know, they developed organically over the course of, you know, decades. My business, it's tech startup. So, you know, we're trying to go for fast growth, accelerated growth, and try to, you know, explode this as fast as we possibly can. So for me, it's develop the business plan, show the proof of model, validate that model, and then go right for venture funding. And that's kind of right where I am right now, where we're starting to meet venture capitalists, we're starting to meet angels, and we're really starting to, you know, try to take this off.
What is that process like when you're knocking on doors or sitting down and having a cup of coffee with that potential investor, but someone who hasn't opened up their checkbook yet?
Yeah, it's eye opening. It's kind of daunting at first because you meet these people that are highly successful, have done amazing things in their life, and you're literally sitting there trying to get to know them, and then, you know, slipping your business into the discussion, and then trying to hopefully get them to buy into you. And generally, people say, you know, they do business with those they like. And so oftentimes when I'm in those meetings, I'm just trying to make sure the guy likes me and, you know, understands me and gets my background, gets my thinking. And then we'll kind of take it from there and, you know, really make a formal offer.
What do you think they're looking for in you?
Oh, in me. Hopefully that I have the technical skills to kind of pull this off. But, you know, most of it, it's the professionalism. Most of the time they're looking to see, have you really thought about your business? Have you thought about different ways to grow it? What do you need? What are you going to spend your money on? What's the market doing? How are you going to react to changes in the market? Those are a lot of the questions that they kind of come to you. And, for myself, I need to know these questions. I got to be aware and be able to respond appropriately to them.
Yeah. Now, when you spoke to the Board of Regents back in June, you had with you in the room some of your colleagues, some of your partners. Tell us the backstory there. How did you connect with people who are helping you launch this new payment system?
Yeah. So I have about eight people on my team right now, and the first couple of guys on the team are just kind of friends. I reached out to a few friends that some of them are in marketing, and some of them are computer engineers, and you know, I really just bounced the idea off, and it took about 3 months before they really were like, okay, Carlton, you've asked us enough times. Yeah, we'll commit and we'll try to work it out. And then from there, you know, different business competitions, I was able to formulate relationships with different faculty from different schools. I have some faculty from MATC, some faculty from UWM. I even have a gentleman out of Madison who has over 30 years of international business experience. We kind of met at an entrepreneurial conference, and we kind of started talking, and now, you know, he's on my board of directors. So it's really just networking. That's really the goal. Most of the people I didn't know when I first came to Milwaukee, but over the course of these last 4 years, I've been able to build a pretty good network of different individuals, and, you know, I can tap into them whenever I need to.
What is the entrepreneur or business startup scene like here in Milwaukee compared to other communities based on the conversations you've had with these investors?
The startup community in Milwaukee and UWM and Wisconsin as a whole is fantastic right now. It is absolutely brilliant. You know, the universities are helping out, getting students involved, getting, you know, the startup challenge, student startup challenge. But then there's also, you know, state and local government legislatures that are out there to help kind of, you know, get the ball rolling, help startups going. I think I heard that there's a scale-up Milwaukee taking place with you know, maybe a dozen businesses downtown Milwaukee.
We just had Julia Taylor from the Greater Milwaukee Committee and Michael Hosted from the university who are working on scale-up as guests on this program just a couple of weeks ago. And so they spoke glowingly about the potential, but you're already out there. They're talking in some cases to companies that are just coming up with the idea. You've got the idea.
Right. I have the idea now, and the resources are still there to kind of take my idea to the next level. And, you know, there are generator programs out there. There are a lot of resources for students like myself. A lot of people are getting involved. There's different networking groups that meet at different restaurants every so often. I'm a part of two different networking groups. So I'm always trying to build up my rapport with different people and different individuals to try to stay involved in the scene. To me, that's really, really important to stay really active in the scene and find out what other students are doing, what other companies are doing, and really, you know, keep those dialogues open. That's the way, you know, you're going to make it. And, you know, starting here in Wisconsin, compared to some of my friends in New York or other places, here you can really focus on refining your business before you have to take it to the market and really try to compete with, you know, the cutthroat business models of, you know, New York or Chicago. Here you can really build your idea, really cultivate it, make it as strong as you can, and then go launch it. Whereas in other cities, you don't have that opportunity. You know, maybe you have to go get funding immediately because it's so expensive, or maybe you can't find a talent because there's the talent's just, you know, so spread out here. It's really great. You know, the programs are built right here for me. And it's really easy to tap into them. So I can't complain.
You know, that's a really interesting perspective, because sometimes we hear people talk about Milwaukee's problem being that we're a little too slow to engage in a new idea, that we're not as agile or as quick to be out of the box in terms of supporting initiatives as a New York or an LA or Chicago.
Well, I wouldn't say that we're too slow. I'd say, you know, yeah, maybe we don't jump out in the first, you know, 3 to 6 months with your product. But, you know, in myself, I didn't do that either. But what allows us to do is kind of sit back and really take a very methodical approach to your business. One thing I kind of preach to my team is business strategy, knowing where you're going to go, which moves you're going to pivot, how you're going to respond to the market, and understanding the market, understanding what the problem is that your competitors are doing or what they're doing wrong. And once you can really understand what the market is doing, then you can take your idea, optimize it for a specific, you know, direction that you're trying to go, and then push that out to the market. And so for me, I say, you know, we're not going too slow. In fact, we're in a process of, you know, negotiating some very large deals just with my business, you know. And so we might be going from a few thousand customers one day to potentially 30,000 plus in a few weeks, few months. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking your time.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is Carlton Reeves. Carlton is a PhD student in mechanical engineering at UWM, but we're really focusing today on his role or his career as a young entrepreneur, as he's in the process of launching a business with a lot of support from the university in terms of creating a network and a background of experts to help support him. Carlton, let's talk a little bit more about the company that that you are putting your blood, sweat, and tears into. It's called Tally Payments, and you at the beginning of the program described that it is an easier way, or gives people an easier way, to go ahead and order products and pay for those products than might otherwise be the case if they just sat down at a restaurant. Have you tested this yet? Have you been in a beta stage with customers or their clients yet?
Yeah. Our product has been on the market for about 3 months now. We tested it in a few specific locations in northern Milwaukee, actually out in Mequon, just to kind of pilot it in a few restaurants. And those went extremely well. You know, obviously, the first time you put your product into the market, you're going to get hit with a little bit of a few bugs and whatnot. But we've been able to overcome those, and now we're just slowly growing it out to a few more restaurants. So right now we're about three or four restaurants, and we're now continuing to grow.
What is the potential out there for a product like this?
Well, you know, we're targeting fast casual restaurants, quick service restaurants. And if you look at the restaurant industry, there's literally millions of restaurants all over the U.S. And so for us, that makes a huge market. And then we're also looking at customers with mobile devices, smartphones. And as we all know, smartphones are pretty ubiquitous right now. So, you know, you combine those two technologies and you're like, okay, well, there's a lot of restaurants and there's a lot of smartphones. There's a big market for this. We're not immediately going after the big, college town, or I shouldn't say big college towns, the big, you know, major cities like a New York or Chicago. We're really kind of turning our direction, really targeting specific colleges. So say, hey, okay, this is a great college. Maybe there's a lot of students here that want to be able to dine in and eat on campus. And that's where we're going. So we're really focusing on the college kids, you know, 18 to 25 or 30, who, you know, really like using social media, who really like, you know, going on Facebook and have a cell phone and have a smartphone in particular. And that's the kind of group that we're targeting. So there are hopefully millions of people around the U.S. that can potentially be using Tally Payments.
Is it a factor, or is one of the factors that the technology you're using does require more buy-in in some stage than other generations might be comfortable with? I'm thinking if you're 45 or 50 years old, is it a matter of you maybe not being quite as comfortable ordering with your smartphone?
Yeah, I think, well, one of the things that we get is a lot of people, you know, not a lot, but a few people feel, you know, they're a little hesitant when you have to load your credit card information into your smartphone and then, you know, you use that to pay. But the younger generation, that's kind of a natural thing. There's so many different apps on the Apple Store or on Google or any other device where, you know, you just put your credit card in and you can go. I mean, we all use iTunes and That's pretty much it. So for us, you know, those who don't want to do that, well, they can still pay with cash or, you know, their current credit card. But those who want that level of convenience and that instant gratification, that speed, that's what we provide them. And all they have to do is simply load their credit card in and link it to their profile, and they have access to all of the restaurants and all the other features that Tally Payments develops.
Do you have competitors?
Yeah, we do have a few competitors. You know, the market is really segmented right now. The mobile payment industry is, you know, it's a few billion dollars today, and it's looking to go, I believe, in the next 4 years up to about $50 billion in transactions. Some of our biggest competitors are out there, you know, Google, Square, PayPal, other big companies like that. But for them, you know, they're targeting, you know, the general masses. They're targeting all different retail stores, all different, you know, different payment options.
Buy a flat screen TV.
Right. Go to Best Buy, pay with your phone there. I mean, that's not what we're doing. We're really in the restaurants, getting involved in people's lives. You know, restaurants are really one of the more intimate things that we do, and we're socializing, and that's what we're trying to optimize. You know, make this a lifestyle tool where, you know, you go into the restaurant, you're hanging with your friends. You don't want to wait for the server. You don't want to try to flag down a bartender, or you don't want to do any of that. You just want to hang out with your friends. Well, why not just pull out your phone if you're already, you know, posting on pictures on Facebook and whatnot and order your food? I mean, it's that simple. It makes it so much more fun.
What's in it for the restaurant?
Well, restaurants get access to our database of clientele. We give them a lot of data analytics on, you know, transactions, general information about customers. But they also get that increased speed. So when you have transactions that are digital like this, there's no transaction of money and there's no swiping of cards. So everything is electronic. So that being said, restaurants actually have more transactions that go through their system. And per transaction, we've actually been able to show restaurants that they actually make more money using our system, because people who pay via their cell phone tend to tip more, which is an interesting phenomenon. I didn't know that even existed. You know, I didn't think people would do that. But yeah, so people tip more. Restaurants make more money per an order. There's more orders coming through, so generally they're getting more sales. And that's the bottom line. They're getting more sales.
Have any of your business partners quit their day job to focus just on this yet?
Yes, a few of them. A few of my business partners have kind of quit their day job. I've got about three or four of my partners who their full-time gig is Tally Payments. And hopefully when I finish my PhD, that'll be my my full-time gig.
Wow. So you're again, wrapping up the dissertation in tribology and mechanical engineering. Where's your career path going? Do you see yourself using specifically that tribology degree?
Well, I'll always stay involved in the in the tribology world. I plan on, you know, if anything, maybe I do a postdoc at UWM, stay here, continue my research. But I would like to, you know, continue publishing. That's something I'd want to do and just keep my foot in the door. I find the industry and the technology evolving pretty rapidly. And, you know, one little story that's pretty neat is tribology. We focus a lot on, like, coatings and surface texture. Well, if you think of the iPhone, iPhones and a lot of these smartphones have these new screens that, you know, don't let oils from your fingers stain them or anything like that. Well, that's a tribology problem. And so when you think of, like, my business where we're using smartphones and all these other technologies, well, you know, tribology is right in your hand every day. You know, these new coatings for smartphones that, you know, allow you to wipe off the phone on your pants and get rid of the oil from your fingers. That's, you know, that's a tribology thing. So I think I'll probably stay involved with both of them as long as I can. And hopefully one day I can be a professor. That's my greater ambition.
So you've got this one company that is the result of your entrepreneurial spirit. Do you envision yourself inventing something else down the road or starting other companies?
Yeah. I have a couple ideas for some disruptive technologies. I like to say disruptive just because I like to challenge kind of our status quo for businesses and Fortune 500 companies. But, you know, you never really know where the world is going to take you and where life is going to take you. But right now my journey is kind of take Tally Payments, see what I can do with it, try to grow it as fast as I can, as big as I can right here out of UWM. And then, you know, I'll kind of see what happens. But it's an exciting journey.
Carlton, what advice would you give to a listener who says, you know, I've got a great idea. I've never acted on it, but I bet I could do something with this. As a newly minted entrepreneur, what direction would you suggest they go to see that idea through?
I would say just do it. That's the bottom line. A lot of people have ideas, but a lot of them don't act on it. And my thing is, my word of advice is go out and just try to, you know, put together the minimum viable product. Try it out. Spend a few months, maybe a year on it, work it out, bounce it off some ideas, bounce it off some people, and just see, you know, just try it. If you don't try it, you'll never know. That's the thing.
Are you ever too old or ever too young to have that entrepreneurial trait that seems to be in your DNA?
No. You're never too old. Not at all. If my father was listening, he would tell you, he bounces ideas off me all the time. We talk all the time, a couple times a week where he's, Carlton, I got a great new invention, and this is a man who's in his 60s. So, you're never too old to come up with ideas, and, you're never too old to even market them.
Yeah. You talk about perhaps becoming a university professor. Could you ever envision yourself working, in addition to the mechanical engineering field that you're getting your PhD in, working in a program that teaches other entrepreneurs?
That would be my ideal program, actually. I'd love to be a hybrid professor between engineering and business and kind of take engineering students and get them into that business mentality so that they can go out and take their ideas and cultivate them and create businesses. So that would be my ideal goal.
Well, let's make believe you are a professor for just a moment or two. What would you see as the biggest impediment to those other students that are in the classes that you've been in or maybe just starting school this fall at UWM? What do they need to get that entrepreneurial bug blooming with inside of them?
I'd probably tell students, you can do anything you can put your mind to. Anything that you can imagine, try it, go out, do it. Nobody ever told me I had limitations. Nobody said I had to go get a job or I had to go work for somebody. And I would tell that to my students. You don't have to. If you want it, and you want it bad enough, go out and try it. That's really the thing that you need to do. Hard work will definitely pay off. And if they put in the work, I believe that it will pay off.
But as you pointed out, a big part of that work you need to do is creating that network of mentors, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Going out, getting networks, building, the opportunity around you and finding those who can help you take your idea and bring it to the next level, bring it to fruition. That's the important part. But you need to have mentors. You need to have those that you can bounce your ideas off of and those who can help grow along with you.
And of course, anyone who's listening with a business background is going to say, well, that's all good, but you also need capital. You need some money to get rolling.
Yes. That is very true. And that's kind of where I am with my business. We're looking for, like I said earlier, we're looking for funding and we're now into that stage where we are doing venture funding. But if you get involved with some of the business plan competitions and other things, those do have funding associated with them. So if you win a competition or you come in, even top 10 in one, sometimes there are funding, maybe a couple $1,000s, but that's enough to kind of get the ball rolling. For myself, my business, I funded a good portion of my business myself. And then friends and family kind of helped. And then from that, we went into business competitions. And as the business competitions got bigger and bigger, we were able to receive more and more funds.
But now you're talking to other investors who I suspect are looking at putting more than 25 or 50 bucks into the company.
Right. Well, now we're talking to certified investors. And some of these guys are out of New York or Chicago, even Wisconsin. And these are some of the big guys you see on television and some of the guys you hear talking to Google or Facebook. And so it's exciting. It's really exciting.
Well, your enthusiasm comes through and we congratulate you on a good start here. And we wish you the very best as you move towards the finish line on your PhD this fall at UWM and also building that new company of yours.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. Thank you. I had a great time.
Carlton Reeves, our guest on this edition of UWM Today, as we talk about that entrepreneurial spirit, both at the university and here in the city of Milwaukee. That's all for this week. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.